everybody. I'm Shanti Salas, VP at Open Corporates, the largest source of transparent company data in the world. There's an increasing expectation today from a company's board to regulators to its customers that it act ethically. And that often starts with knowing who you're in business with. But this is a constant challenge, given the complexity of corporate structures and the explosion of information available. In this episode, we'll discuss how innovative firms are deploying technology and data to overcome this challenge. To add some insight to this, I'm joined by Sean O'Mani, co-founder of the automated background research platform, Zapien. So Sean, why is it more important than ever for an organization to know who it's doing business with?
Hi, Shanti. So yeah, look, I think in a world like the one we live in today, it is always on. It's always on and it's fully connected. And so that means that everything your organization does is available and is scrutinized by your customers, your investors, and you know, the prospects you're engaging with. So essentially, there's two parts to it. But first of all, primarily from a risk management perspective, for those organizations to understand who they're engaging with, because the conduct of the organizations you're engaging with, your counterparties, is a reflection of your own values and your own conduct. So it's essential to really understand who you're engaging with, what they've been up to, and will that affect your reputation? Because as soon as you do that, it's out there and people form perspectives on that. So a lot of organizations using systems like ours to really understand whether the values align from a risk management perspective. But then there's also another aspect to this as well, which is kind of quite interesting, often overlooked because we often focus on risk, but actually there's a really interesting thing here about opportunities, right? So with the sort of world as it stands now, especially post-COVID, deals and relationships are sort of slightly less about, you know, handshakes in physical offices and contracts signed in boardrooms. It's about Zoom meetings. And the world is generally, of course, as you all know, it's global kind of commerce and it's global transactions. So you're engaging with organizations all around the world constantly, and your ability to go meet them and transact with them and, you know, look them in the eye and generally believe you can do a deal with them, that's kind of great, but it's about sort of Zoom meetings. It's you're often kind of contracting with people you've never necessarily met. So the ability to really feel like you understand who you're about to meet, who you're engaging with, you understand what's known about them, well, that's a great basis for building trust. And if you can build trust quickly, then you can move on and you can do business quickly. So it's not all about risk. You know, there's a lot of it about accelerating trust and accelerating business.
And has the proliferation of publicly available information we've seen in recent years made the due diligence process more difficult or less difficult or both?
Yeah, it's a really interesting challenge, isn't it? So, and an opportunity really, because of course, you know, now everything is on the internet or available through a commercial data provider. Somehow, if you can locate it, you know, it is out there. And so part of the sort of challenge, I think, for the modern day investigator, and let's face it, everybody is an investigator. Well, you don't buy something of worth, you don't hire a new builder without just kind of just Googling them first, right? You know, in your just your day-to-day life. So why would you not do this commercially? Of course, everyone does, but very few people write kind of processes around it. So I think, you know, the challenge really is, of course, how are you going to find that information? You've always got a limited amount of time and resource, right? There's only so many people in your team. You've only got so long to kind of do this. And what we tend to find is the organizations, the people who are charged with doing this, it's quite stressful because they're essentially carrying a risk they can't really manage. It's like, well, what have you done? Well, I mean, I did these searches, I read these things, I found this stuff, and hence you're going to kind of have to now sort of sign off, you know, with your name on the fact that that's the research, the due diligence, whatever it is done. With the internet being as boundless as it is, that's quite a big ask, isn't it? And if we gave the same task to the kind of your colleagues to the left and asked them to do the same research in the same amount of time, would you come back with exactly the same answer? Possibly not. Yes, you know, there's a great opportunity because everything is out there. You know, you can find everything you need to do. It's kind of the world's moved on from investigative research as it was, you know, 10, 20 years ago, you know, rummaging through bins, talking to people in bus stations. It's kind of like, actually, it's all out there on the internet. The great news is that means it's transparent, it's traceable. You can make very sensible kind of commercial decisions based on information you can reference back to source. But of course, the challenge is, you know, how anybody can actually kind of sew that together with confidence.
And what role does data about companies and their officers play in helping paint a picture about a would-be customer or third party?
Well, to that point about information being everywhere, usually what we ultimately need to do is we need to sort of have some reference points. Because it's really pointed here around sort of the provenance of information and how trustworthy it is. So yeah, sure, you know, it may well be that the golden egg you're looking for was like one line published on a Russian blog. You know, that might be absolute gold for you. Might be everything you ever hoped to find in your research. But of course, the question is always, well, okay, well, where did that come from? Who runs the blog, et cetera, et cetera. So in most internet research, you know, and online research kind of pieces, you have to have some sort of reference points, some bones, some mesh, some framework for your investigation. And so that can very usefully kind of come through, for example, corporate data, where you're able to kind of take starting points and traverse and triangulate networks of kind of corporate activity and identify some things. You say, well, here are some things that actually are very dependable information. And then onto that, you can then read news articles and media articles with the company's own website, whatever it is, and really put the flesh and the texture on that that tells a really coherent story. But you know, the value in having some of those bones underneath it that you can really rely and lean on, that's always going to have value in any form of online or offline research.
A lot has been written about how innovative technologies such as AI are revolutionizing the compliance professional's ability to review information and identify risk. Sean, looking beyond the hype, what's really going on here?
Look, I think it's an exciting and an interesting time, isn't it? I think you're looking at this a macro trends in your software and tech industry. I mean, you go back 10 years ago, every tech marketing department was busy scratching out things on the website and putting cybersecurity all over them. And I think you see exactly the same kind of trend today. You know, there's barely an organization out there, especially in the kind of tech space, who doesn't have AI plastered all over their website. Everyone, everything's an AI company. I think, you know, the real kind of question is like, well, what does that actually mean? You know, and I think, you know, in reality, in an organization like Zapien, where we're performing automated background research on internet data, I mean, there's no better organization to really fly the AI flag, right? Because you're having to do colossal amounts of research. You're having to mimic the very innate human thought processes and judgment, right? But actually, when you sort of boil that down, we say in Zapien that actually in practice, that boils down to about 20 aspects, you know, how you match names, how you understand names, how you form judgments about identity, you know, how you read text and understand and infer things from that. There's this huge amount of things that, you know, humans do very innately. Whilst being a leading AI tech company, a deep tech company at that, for us, AI is the marzipan, really, that runs through this cake. You know, there's many aspects to it. So I don't personally get behind the idea that, you know, there's a big box and you simply can feed your questions in. And if you just train it enough, then out will come the answers. And of course, you know, that leads into really interesting kind of questions about the traceability and, you know, the bias and all sorts of things like that. But actually, by breaking the problem down into things which are actually in practice quite simple, if you can provide the training, the insight, whether it's matching addresses or parsing addresses from free text, you know, all these problems break down. And they break down into things that actually computers can be very well trained to solve and solve reliably, you know, in a sort of testable, defensible kind of way. For me, that's the real bedrock of AI, is actually building a composable system that you can interrogate and it behaves in a deterministic manner, but with the power of thousands of humans in a way that, you know, humans just are not strong at working with colossal information at an unimaginable scale.
You've touched on the concept of triangulation. My experience from the due diligence world is that you're often only able to find red flags that could indicate risk once you've gathered and stitched together various pieces of information. How does this work in practice with today's technology?
I think in any investigation, triangulation and working across different data sources is, of course, when we think about it, of course, it's what we all do very naturally. You start with kind of corporate records. You may read some corporate records, for example, understand some directorships. That allows you to kind of think about some things which are relevant in this kind of network. From there, you may then use that information you've learned there to then refer to media articles. You might read a media article and say, well, actually, you know, I'm actually fairly confident this article is about my individual, my organization, because there's some things here that I'm recognizing that are making sense. In doing that, you then will probably read on and learn that actually, you know, the charitable foundation that you were engaging with was set up by this individual. He wasn't just a director, he was the founder. And prior to that, he had an esteemed career in the following organizations. Well, actually, those organizations were never on your radar, but now you're able to start now triangulating your manner of corporate records. And from that, you go, okay, well, now I can actually say, well, that means that this website is also here, the website for the company, and here are other individuals involved in this. And whilst I thought I was starting, you know, an investigation here to look into an upstanding charitable foundation. Of course, very interestingly, the money that is ultimately fed that charitable foundation has come from, you know, 20 or 30 years of work in the pharmaceutical industry or whatever else it is. And they were involved in all sorts of things, whatever it kind of relates to. So, you know, you're able to start actually then attributing some really rich texture from web and media reporting through that you could never ordinarily, you know, triangulate. So you have to bring all these things together. And for us, that's the key to running a comprehensive investigation, is to triangulate across a web, you know, a linked web, probabilistically linked web, if we're being sort of scientific about it, of all the potential assertions. So in a typical Zapier investigation, we would probably pull in somewhere in the region around to circa 2 million people, organizations, addresses, reference points, facts, and link them all together in a probabilistic kind of sort of solar system, really, to allow our user to kind of hone in on the sort of stars that are relevant to them and understand the things that sit around that. You know, it is one about triangulation. It's only through triangulation as well that you can actually discard the things which are irrelevant, which is also often overlooked.
Finally, if you could change the company data landscape to make it more useful for a company like Zapien, what would you do?
Yeah, so I think, you know, really what we're doing here, you know, in Zapien with automated research at scale is no different in terms of information requirements to each and every researcher, investigator, analyst out there. Everybody has to have access ultimately to raw data that's dependable, reliable, accurate, and sourceable. We're quite fortunate here in the UK, of course, you know, having like kind of companies house registry. It's well understood. It's been going for a lot, you know, many years, and they've now made that fully accessible in electronic format. That's great. But of course, you know, inherently, like, very few organizations are working on UK situations. You know, every organization now, you know, is trading globally, there are tendrils everywhere, which means that understanding a global data network is so much more important. So having the same level of access across all international jurisdictions, corporate registry data, absolutely critical. I mean, like, you're sort of no brainer. And I think as well, it's not just about access, because many countries do provide access. It's just they provide such an enormous financial levy on that information. It means it is in practice for the majority of use cases outside of perhaps a bank intelligence unit, it in practice just locks a large number of regular organizations out of that data. It's prohibitively expensive. And hence that, it just means that the information, the opportunity to triangulate data and activities through those countries becomes opaque. And so, of course, you know, having access to information across jurisdictions at a high level of fidelity is important. Actually working as an organization, helping with compliance or risk management or onboarding or sort of tackling criminal use cases, the ability to access information at a level of fidelity in an enterprise manner for the right use cases is absolutely critical again. And hence, it's those kind of identifiers that help you triangulate data. So we're quite fortunate here in Zapien because we work across so many different data points across media and corporate records and the internet as a whole. We have some amount of insulation from that. We can usually build a fairly comprehensive picture irrespective of what's going on. But, you know, for many people, that information is make or break on whether or not they can link activity together.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you, Sean, for joining us and sharing your thoughts on this topic. And thank you to everybody for listening to this episode. In case you missed it, we recently added the Canadian province of British Columbia to the Open Corporates database. This adds another 2.4 million companies to the database and takes our global coverage to 141 jurisdictions. The data is available, as always, via our website, our API, and as bulk data. So please check it out. Bye for now.